This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Arms-length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and now kicking off the second hour of this weekend show. What I'm going to do in this second hour is replay a webinar that I hosted back in the middle of the week on Wednesday, April 28th. It was a royalty roundtable. I was joined by five of what I consider some of the best mid-tier royalty companies for a discussion on royalties, streams, and how to invest or what to look for when investing in these companies. What I'm going to do here is split up this webinar that lasted almost a full hour into four different segments for the weekend show. However, if you're listening to this on the radio, you can visit our website, kereport.com, and listen to the full recording, pretty much unedited, under that hour two weekend show posting. I hope you all enjoy, and please continue to send me your questions for any of these companies that I featured on the webinar or any of the companies that I featured throughout the week. My email is fleck@kereport.com. Everybody, enjoy the second hour. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another KE Report webinar. This is a very special webinar because we are bringing on a number of mid-tier royalty companies, five to be exact, some of the higher quality mid-tier royalty companies that I have been following and I've received a lot of emails and comments on our website, kereport.com. My name is Corey Fleck. I am the host and president of the Corlin Economics Report. I am joined here by Brent Heath, the president and CEO of Metalla Royalty and Streaming, Vincent Metcalf, CEO of Nomad Royalties, Dan O'Flaherty, CEO of Mavericks Metals, Frederick Bell, president and CEO of Elemental Royalties, and Alex Sukernick, president and CEO of Nova Royalty Corp. Now, there is a question and answer option in this webinar, so we will be taking questions as we move through a number of the general topics that we're going to be discussing when it comes to why invest in royalty and streaming companies, and also what to look for when you are investing in these companies, because let's face it, guys, there's been a flood of new entrants into this space, and not all companies are created equal, especially a lot of these new companies that, quite frankly, don't even have any cash-flowing royalties. That's a topic we'll get to a bit later, but I do want to start off this webinar with more or less an intro to the royalty space. I received a handful of emails asking, what are royalties? What are streams? How do companies benefit from these? Brett, I want to start off with you here. Now, again, Brett Heath, president and CEO of Metalla Royalties and Streaming. Brett, explain, in, I guess, one of the more basic senses, what is a royalty?
So royalty is a non-dilutive interest at the asset level. And this is incredibly important as an investor to understand because mining companies tend to be serial diluters. That means they issue equity and your ownership continues to decrease every single time. Now, the other good part about having a non-dilutive interest is that if it's a development asset and they have to go spend $100 million building the mine, you maintain that interest. Now, the real great part becomes when the asset goes in production, because not only do you have that non-dilutive interest, but it delivers top-line cash flow in perpetuity. It's just a phenomenal financial instrument that I'm sure most of us have ever come across. And when you put them together in a portfolio, it just can be profound what the advantages and what the optionality can bring. So they're just truly amazing assets. And you know, that's what you have here today across you know, all these different companies.
Well, one thing that I want to note about all these companies is they are all cash flowing from royalties. So these companies do have positive cash flow and generating some nice revenue. Vincent Metcalf, CEO of Nomad Royalties, give us an understanding of what streams are, because it's one of the aspects that you've been in the royalty and streaming game for a while here. What is a stream? How does it differ from royalties?
It's actually very, very similar. The basic difference is that streaming basically allows to purchase, I would say, specific precious metals production from a mine that sometimes is a base metal producer, or, you know, any other type of producer. Even sometimes we'll take a primary stream off of the precious metals from a precious metal mine. But the basic difference is that you're able to, I would say, be a bit more specific in what you want or what you're purchasing. It's basically the same thing as a royalty. But the main difference is that you also have an additional payment, upon delivery of each ounce that you get, versus a royalty is typically 99.5% margin. A stream will likely be between 65 and 85%, in most cases. So it's a bit, you know, I would say it's not as high margin, of an instrument. However, you're able to add a lot of different features to a stream versus a royalty. A royalty is typically attached only to a specific claim, where streams, you're able to, you know, typically add, you know, area of interest. So if the operator adds other, you know, claims in the area, you typically are able to get some, you know, some future upsides from those additional claims that today you do not own. And, but as Brett said, they're very, I would say, similar to royalties in the sense that you typically own a non-dilutive piece of an asset. And that's, you know, I would say what's great for us is you get that predictable cost structure for our shareholders. And the risk is very limited in the sense that, you know, our 65 or 85% margin, no matter what happens at the asset level, stays very stable.
Yeah, as capital as intensive as mining can be, it's one of the benefits of royalty and streaming companies is that you don't have to necessarily, well, pay up initially and also keep that mine running. You get that non-dilutive interest. Dan O'Flaherty, CEO of Maverix Metals, explain to some of the newer investors in the royalty and streaming space how companies like Maverix, like these other royalty companies, get paid when a project is in production, whether it's a stream or a royalty.
Yeah, just adding on to what Brett and Vincent have said, is how they're calculated. Royalties are typically a percentage of top-line revenue. So that's before operating costs, before capital costs. So it is top-line revenue for the royalty companies. And streams, which are defined as the right to purchase metal at a defined price well below spot, provides that significant margin, as Vincent mentioned. So the benefits to this is the royalty companies are getting gold exposure, cash flow and margins, future exploration upside, long-term optionality, and exposure to growth, with minimizing exposure to the actual operating costs, the capital costs, the G&A, because it is top-line revenue on the royalty side. So that is a benefit for the royalty and streaming companies.
Now, Fred, let's bring you in. Frederick Bell, President and CEO of Elemental Royalties. Elemental really focuses on these cash-flowing royalties. How do the payouts of royalties really impact the company when we are in environments here of rising metals prices, especially for base metals? I know there are less base metal royalties out there, but even for precious metals, when the precious metals went through a very nice run last year, have corrected now, but generally higher prices than what we saw in the last about 9 years.
Like on a general level, if you're talking about royalties such as Elemental have, effectively zero cost royalties, then if it's a 10% increase in the gold price, we're going to see, broadly speaking, 10% increase in revenue. So we get pretty much direct read across on that level. I think where we benefit is that, as sort of been touched on, our cost base isn't increasing. And also across the operations, it really incentivizes the operators to drill out, you know, their projects, expand the resources. And, you know, you typically see in a rising gold price environment, people might actually be, you know, making the pit bigger, adding ounces that are already in the ground. So you might see a pit optimized for $1,200 gold. And over the last year, over the last 2 years, people might be starting to optimizing that pit, looking at $1,400 gold, $1,500 gold. And that actually, that can be a real sort of value add, and for a royalty company in particular, that you don't necessarily see and you don't really account for when you look at it from an outset.
All right, we need to take a commercial break, but next segment, we are going to continue with the Royalty Roundtable. Everyone, stick around.
you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have fake rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back to the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report, and continuing with this royalty roundtable. We finished last segment with Frederick Bell, President and CEO of Elemental Royalties, discussing how royalty companies benefit in a rising metals price environment. And now Dan O'Flaherty, CEO of Mavericks Metals, continues this conversation on the back of what Fred had to say.
I want to actually echo Fred's comment because it's absolutely correct. In rising commodity price environments, We see the underlying operators invest in their own assets for the benefit of their shareholders. But all the companies on this panel here benefit from that investment as well at no cost to us. And that's really the torque, especially with the assets that aren't in production yet, where we're seeing those assets being moved forward. And that's real torque. That's additional growth to each of these companies at no additional cost. So that was a great point, Brett.
Yeah, the diversification too. That's huge. You get exposure to a number of different mines, so you're not all tied just to one operating entity. Alex, let's bring you in here. Alex Zukernick, President and CEO of Nova Royalty Corp. You're focused more on the base metal side of things. That's a bit of a change from a lot of royalty companies out there. There just seem to be more royalties on precious metals assets. What can you tell us about how royalties fit into the base metal component?
Yeah, look, it's actually a completely different business. You know, when you look at sort of your average copper mine in the top 60 today producing, the current average expected life is 77 years from the time that it was started to expected depletion. They'll probably get pushed out further because these assets are so big, they just continue expanding. So when you talk about the benefits of the royalty model in precious metals and everything that's, you know, kind of the guys have said here is very well pointed. I think in base metals, you get even more of that exposure because of the size and the scale of the assets and how long they go for. And so what attracted us to the sector was something very simple. We saw the role changing and, you know, we saw really copper becoming the world's main commodity and nickel becoming also very important. And given the size of these assets as a first mover, we thought it was a great time to consolidate really the most strategic assets out there. And so that's been our focus ever since.
Okay, guys, let's talk about how to analyze royalties, because I've gotten the comments for some companies saying, look, there are just so many royalties here. What do I need to focus on? Obviously, the revenue-generating royalties, the actual production royalties, those are contributing to the bottom line, but the torque that companies can get from projects moving from the construction phase into the actual production phase, that adds to the bottom line of companies. Vince, let's go back over to you then. In terms of how you think investors should analyze royalties, what do they need to focus on when they're looking at companies that sometimes hold over 100 royalties, but maybe a dozen, two dozen are producing?
Yeah, no, there's, I would say obviously different metrics. I would say generally in the space, there's, price to NAV, so net asset value, and also, you know, price to flow. Those are typically, I would say, for the major companies, an EV to EBITDA, if you're talking to the point of view of a Franco and Wheaton, the two largest companies in the space at the moment. But I would say in general, at our level, or I think most companies on this panel, you know, price to NAV is probably the main denominator here. And I would say from a valuation point of view, from an investor's point of view, they're all different, right? So for things that are not in production, a typical investor or a typical research analyst will likely, you know, give a multiple which is discounted. So I would say in general, when you look at where companies trade for things that are in production, the research analyst will give, you know, a premium to net asset value for that specific asset. For assets that are not, you know, in production, so either in exploration or development phase, you'll be much lower than 1x NAV. So what that means is, you know, as an aggregate, as a portfolio, the more your portfolio moves towards, the production level of things, normally you should start getting a higher net asset value. I would say higher multiple on net asset value, and same thing goes for price to cash flow. Obviously they're different, you know. There's probably other metrics out there that people use, so revenue and so on. So, but I think I would say in general, net asset value is probably the main, metric that people use to value companies.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, Brett, what about looking ahead? Because that's what all investors are doing, looking ahead to say, well, how much revenue is this company going to generate next year? What mines are coming online? How can investors analyze that within a portfolio of projects?
Well, I think the answer is a bit of a hybrid answer. The more mature royalty companies, the ones that have been around for a long time, the multi-billion dollar companies, I think it's pretty straightforward to understand and build models around, you know, the assets that produce that usually are, you know, more than 50% of the NAV. For the smaller companies that are just starting out, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to really the quality and of the operators. You know, if they don't have a lot of projects that are producing currently that you can model and you can analyze, you know, in connection or in parallel as you would with the majors, then the next step is to understand, okay, well, what left is driving that value? And more importantly, who is driving that value? Because when you get into the development side, I think there can be a number of different kind of metrics that, that investors can use. But I think one of the things that we look for when we're buying assets is the organic growth part of the picture or part of the equation. And what this means is that, you know, if we can target a royalty where we know it's in a major mining company's pipeline and they're going to be allocating $50 or $100 million to this asset over the next few years as it goes in production, then there's a high probability that this thing's going to increase significantly in value even before it starts to spin off any cash flow. And that allows a royalty company to really capture a lot of gains. And so, you know, there's, like I said, it becomes a bit more, you know, opaque at the smaller end, but, you know, really I think it's about, the kind of the pace of the growth and the quality of the assets that are kind of behind that growth that make up the future of a smaller royalty company.
All right, time again for another commercial break for the radio stations. Again, if you are listening to this on the radio, you can listen to the full unedited version or recording of the roundtable on our website, kereport.com, under that Hour 2 weekend show posting, or through our podcast, Corlin Economics Report. Again, Hour 2 of the weekend show. We are continuing this roundtable next segment, and we're going to get into a bit more on the acquisition side of what the companies look for, what they value, and potentially where future acquisitions could come from. Everybody, stick around. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brandon Gunn. California is increasing early release credits for 76,000 inmates, including violent and repeat felons, as it further trims the population of what once was the nation's largest state correctional system. More than 63,000 inmates convicted of violent crimes will be eligible for good behavior credits that shorten their sentences by one-third. The changes were approved this week by the State Office of Administrative Law with almost no public notice. Critics say this move will put more Californians at risk.
The Florida legislature passed a bill this week that would forbid social media companies like Facebook or Twitter to ban elected officials from communicating on their platforms. Governor Ron DeSantis has pledged to sign the bill. The move comes 3 months after social media giants YouTube and Twitter removed former President Donald Trump from their platforms, a decision which many commentators warn could indicate that big tech has too much power over political speech. This is USA Radio News. President Biden talks schools opening in the fall. Tim Berg has more.
President Biden believes schools should be open for 5 day a week in-person learning in the fall, despite the fact that children likely will not be vaccinated by then. Biden telling NBC's Today Show,
based on the science and the CDC, they should probably all be open. There's not overwhelming evidence that there's much of a transmission among these young people.
Teachers' unions, mainly those in major coastal cities, have resisted reopening schools for much of the 2020-2021 school year, refusing to return teachers to classrooms until a variety of demands, some of which are not directly related to COVID, have been met. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Two storm systems from the Gulf will result in wet, stormy weather for parts of the South and plains into next week. Possibility of flash floods in parts of Texas and Louisiana. Find us on the web at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with this royalty roundtable, I sure hope everybody, all of you listening in, are finding this roundtable valuable. We had a number of people tune in and asked a lot of good questions, but I'm happy to address any future questions that any of you have. Let's get back into the royalty roundtable, now focused a bit more on acquisitions. Okay, let's get into a little bit more of acquisitions of royalties. And Dan, I'm going to bring you back in here because Mavericks, along with a couple of the other royalty companies on this panel, you guys are very good at bringing in portfolios of royalties, either from majors or from other companies. Those obviously add to the overall number of royalties, but how do you go about analyzing portfolios of royalties when you acquire them, understanding that too, a lot of these acquisitions happen a combination of cash and shares of the company?
Well, that's a good question. You know, we look at it a variety of different ways, and the portfolios that we've acquired from the initial portfolio from Pan American and since then from Goldfields, Newmont, and Kinross, they've all each been a little bit different, but they've all had assets that are in production, near-term production, mid-term development, longer-term development, exploration. So it is a bit of a balance as to how you specifically value it. The producing ones are with near-term production. It's very easy to do a discounted cash flow analysis and come up with, you know, what that number is worth from an NPV perspective. From a longer-term exploration side, it is more of an art in terms of what the kind of the optionality is. And that's really the benefit of having portfolios and having exposure over, a number of assets. Mavericks itself has 115 royalties, 13 of which are paying. But each one of them is valued a little bit differently. So it's hard to say, you know, you value every single royalty the exact same way.
Yeah, fair enough.
And if I could add, I think, you know, the main thing, at least for us, the most important part of our due diligence when we're looking at, you know, portfolios or single asset type opportunities is the resource. So, you know, I mean, expirations is tough to put an actual value on when you're looking at, you know, all these different companies. But I would say from, at least from our perspective, you know, we don't own 100 different royalties. However, the ones that we do own, we have full confidence in those projects, in those deposits, because the most important thing is to make sure that you have an instrument, whether it's a stream or a royalty, on a great deposit or something that could become a great deposit. Because it's easy to, you know, to get on the wrong side of that equation. You know, if you could build the best mine in the world, you know, the best plant, you get the best trucks, the best team, if the deposit isn't there, you're done. But the other way around, it could work. If you've got a great deposit and maybe you had to bootstrap the plant because you didn't have the proper financial backing, but you know what? Maybe that company that built it gets acquired by a larger operator, and all of a sudden they have that $500 million to throw at the project and make the operational side of things better. So the most important thing when investors look at all our companies is making sure that our instruments, you know, are on good deposits, and, you know, whether they're base metals, whether they're precious metals, that's what really drives value over time. Because as you spend more dollars on these projects and these deposits, they become better and bigger. So that's where we get more leverage from that point of view. And that comes at zero cost to us once we've done our investment. So that's the great thing about these platforms.
Yeah, fair enough. And the underlying asset, that is the asset, right? The deposit, that is the underlying asset that you're hoping moves into production. Fred, let's get you in here, because Elemental is very much focused on cash flowing royalties. What's the environment like right now in terms of competition for cash flowing royalties?
Well, I think we tend to split it out into two. We sometimes talk about the third party royalties, and then we talk about creating royalties with the operators. And it's probably a different answer for both of those. I think in terms of the environment for miners and for operators recently, it's been relatively attractive for them to raise money at the equity level. And so I think for pure gold miners, maybe slightly different over the last 18 months for some who have byproducts. But for the pure gold miners, I don't think you've seen a lot of new royalties being created. But I think particularly for us, a lot of the deals with certainly the deals we've done historically have been third party, and that is a mix. It can be anyone from the prospector who was originally involved in the project from inception to a previous corporate who sold it to another company, and I think probably the majority of royalties we've bought so far haven't been in competitive scenarios, so the majority we've done have been royalties we sort of found ourselves, and I think someone was reminding me the other day that the royalty space as a whole, this was a sort of $5 billion industry maybe 15 years ago, and if you look at it today, and it's a $40 billion plus industry, it doesn't actually take an awful lot of deals to be material to an Elemental, and I think that's probably the thing that everyone on this panel has in common, which is that if we're $1 billion market cap down, deal flow for us that can be really material and really meaningful doesn't constitute, you know, a significant part of the deal flow that you've seen annually in the royalty space going back 10 years. And so if you're saying that it's been as high as $6 billion in some years, and it's been, I think $2 billion over sort of the last year or two, I think actually that still gives a huge amount of room for us to do really meaningful, accretive acquisitions in the space. I think that's probably why you see, some of the success of the royalty companies and the companies on here has been because they've been able to acquire royalties and acquire portfolios that actually are really meaningful for them and wouldn't necessarily be so for some of the largest players in the space.
Well, and one other thing to consider, and I give all you guys kudos for this, is actually acquiring good royalties. Again, we'll get into it, but there's a lot of royalty companies out there right now that don't have cash flowing royalties, not even really in the foresight. Alex, just a quick comment then regarding base metal royalties. What's the environment out there right now? We've seen a whole creation of precious metal royalty companies. What about on the base metal side?
Well, look, it's still much earlier as an overall sector. I think if you look at sort of historically, it's really been the royalties has really been the precious metals business, because that's where you had the macro the macro support for gold and silver among investors overall. And that sort of facilitated the creation of royalty companies as really the best vehicle to hold the commodity exposure. I think we're still very, very much in the early stages of that happening with copper and nickel. We went public in October, and I think at that point people were still wondering if the market even needed a company in the sector. So the space is definitely at a much earlier stage of development. There's fewer assets overall because when you look at the scale of these mines, you know, they're so large and capital intensive that, it's just not possible to have too many of them. So for instance, take like Taka Taka, First Quantum, you know, it'll take them a better part of a decade to get it up and going. So it's sort of a space where you have fewer assets that are extremely large. But I think also very early in the whole perception phase as well.
So guys, there's one other question that really came in quite a bit, and that was how you guys source your deals and your investment criteria. I want to talk about maybe that secret ability to source deals, to get in early, or just to even get at the table for some of these royalty portfolios. Dan, let's start with you over at Mavericks. What are some of your guys' strategies, and how do you go about finding royalties?
A lot of it is relationship based. We began as a company about 5 years ago, spinning out of Pan American Silver. Jeff Burns, who's our chairman, was the CEO of Pan American Silver for 12 years, been in the industry for 40 years, very deep Rolodex. With that, we did add Goldfields to our registry, Newmont to our registry, Kinross to our registry, and those companies just have, so many different relationships. So it's been a unique benefit for us to really kind of find opportunities that, through those relationships as well. We've got our own databases, as we all do on this panel here. But I think, right now, it is an interesting time for the royalty sector right now.
Okay, last commercial break that we need to take for the second hour, and we're wrapping it up next segment with some more royalty discussion. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Here we are, wrapping up the second hour of the weekend edition. If you guys have enjoyed this roundtable or any aspect of it, please share with your friends and associates. Everybody, hope you enjoy this last segment. Have a great rest of your weekend. So, Vince, over to you, because before you started up Nomad, you came from the Osisko group of companies. They know how to create royalties. They know how to build mines. How do you go about sourcing deals?
Yeah, a bit like Dan just pointed out. I mean, you know, we've been in, you know, Joseph, myself, and Elif have been, you know, involved in the royalty and streaming sector since 2014. So you talk to a lot of the operators. In most cases, you see a lot of these projects go from the feasibility stage, you know, to the construction, to the production, and then maybe a mine expansion. So you see these projects evolve. You keep tabs on them, and you know, you talk to the operators. We're in a sector where we have a lot of different conferences. So, you know, you get to meet, you know, the corporate development teams, the corporate finance teams. And I think the main difference now is that the royalty and the streaming financing side of things is now something that's seen as appropriate in the metals and mining sector, versus if you backtrack 10 years ago, it was seen as a no-no. So it was like debt and equity, and that was it. Now every CFO, you know, in the business that's looking to project finance, you know, either a mine build or an expansion, they have to look at the streaming side of things, because of the cost of capital. And truthfully, we are the longest, no matter how you put it, we are the longest holders of exposure in these deposits. Once we own a royalty, once we own a stream on these things, we own it forever. So, you know, we're not an equity holder that might hold a share for 2 years and then back off and redeploy in something else. So I think that evolution, the thought process has come, you know, full circle for the CFOs, as much as they didn't like it, at first, because they thought that they were putting some future value aside, but with the cost of capital that we're able to offer them. And again, we're not like a debt provider. So if they have to stop the mine build or something, or to figure something out, figure a problem out,
they don't have to pay us, which is very different than a debt provider. So we're 100% aligned with the operators. And I think the more you talk to them, the more we're able to source deals. And typically when you do one deal with them, you know, in our case, we knew Orion very well. And when they knew that, the three of us had a vehicle and were looking for something to do, they reached out, and that's how we got the initial five assets from Orion. So it's all about relationship, for the most part.
Brett, Alex, Fred, you guys have anything else to contribute into how you guys source your deals?
Well, maybe just one point. So then what Vince said, and might be interesting now for anyone watching, is talking about the growth in the royalty and streaming model and the use across the space. And actually, one thing I think you might notice is the average age of the royalty company CEOs is actually, I think, probably reasonably below the average age of a CEO in the mining industry. And I think that speaks partly to the fact that it has grown so much in the last 10, 15 years. It's a space that when often, one of the questions we always get asked is about deal flow and how many opportunities we see. And I think we always have to remind people that actually when you've got the royalty sector as a whole growing at the rate it has been growing, that actually leaves a lot of room for companies like us to be doubling the size of the company year on year, to be adding material growth as we go through.
That ties into the next point that I wanted to bring up, and a couple questions have come in. Is the royalty space saturated with companies right now? And on the back of that, do we need some consolidation of either the small ones or of even some of the mid-tiers? Brett, let's get you to take that first, please.
I guess the answer to it is I think that there are plenty of royalties out there. When we looked at this sector and approached it from a third party perspective, kind of front and center, that was our business. That was something that really wasn't done prior. It was kind of always a mixed bag, whether you wanted to create royalties or streams or just buy third parties. And we saw this market that was massive. I mean, it was huge, and I believe that it was much bigger than really the sector appreciated. And I saw the ability to go out there and create a business around it. And I mean, Dan's done an absolute incredible job, attracting the big corporates. I mean, he's knocked it out of the park there. And we took a focus more on the individual side of the business, and we built up that and built out those relationships. And, I think that there's plenty of assets out there for all these companies and probably more to grow. But I would note that, as the companies do get bigger, it does become more difficult to find larger, higher quality assets. That's really the key here, because all royalties are not created equal. And it's these high quality assets that are going to be driven by the top major mining companies in the world that are really going to drive that growth and are really going to drive the returns for shareholders. And, as you move up the food chain, those become a bit more scarce. And I think over time, I think we'll see that will lead to a bit more M&A within the sector. And, all sectors go through M&A. The royalty's always been a pretty tiny sector for the most part until now. So I think there's just an opportunity today where, 4 or 5 years ago, it was kind of just one-off transactions every 3-4 years, particularly that was driven by a single asset for that deal. So I think we will see more M&A in the future. And, I think the companies that have a strategy that allows them to continue to buy these high quality assets, whether by whatever means their strategy is, if it's high quality assets and you're getting them at accretive prices, then I think a lot of them will be very successful.
Dan, let me bounce back to you then. What do you guys consider a high quality asset? What are some of the criteria that go around high quality assets that can actually move the needle for a Mavericks that does have a larger market cap?
Yeah. Well, certainly, as Vince mentioned, the most important part is the resource. Underlying resource absolutely has to be there. Other things we look at are the operating team. You know, is this team capable of, one, raising the capital to build the project, and two, deliver it, and to execute and to operate it? Third, for us as well, is geography is very important. And right now, the majority of our cash flow comes from Canada, the United States, Australia, Mexico. So when we look at the resource, the team, the jurisdiction, those are all important aspects, as well as time to production. Right now we at Mavericks have a very deep portfolio of development and exploration portfolios. So we're looking to continue to add to the cash flow side of the business as well.
Okay. Alex, over to you then, in terms of base metals royalties. What do you think? Oh, sorry. Yeah, continue on there, Dan.
Corey, just to finish about one last point off, which is relatively new. I think this is something that we're all aware of on this panel is ESG and corporate governance as well for the operating partners is a very important growing part of the sector. So that's another thing that we look at it as well with all our investments.
Okay. Thanks. Good point to add. Alex, then over to you in terms of what is a high quality base metals royalty? And even backtracking to that one question, is consolidation possible for a company like Nova for other companies to diversify outside of just precious metals royalties?
I think the way we think about it, because if you look at sort of the global copper market, it's overwhelmingly dominated by the major mines operated by the major producers. So the way we think about an asset is really simple. It's, do you see a major company wanting to spend the next 50 years of their life here? And I think if you can't answer that question easily, I think you probably have to move on.
Okay, that wraps up this royalty roundtable and the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I really hope all of you who tuned in either live or listened to this recording really got some value out of that roundtable. Please let me know your thoughts. Email me, fleck@kereport.com, with your general thoughts on the royalty roundtable, what you liked, maybe what you would like to hear us discuss next time, and if you have any questions for any of the companies I've featured. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to this weekend show. I'll be back with all of you Monday morning, bright and early. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.